that the I actually like the aroma of new carpeting, but it's bothering some people. No, so it's hard to stay in here or to even come in here. So maybe that will fade some, hopefully. But don't worry about that if you have to leave, go in the other room. This morning I'm going to go back to 1 John, the second chapter. And delve a little bit deeper into this. It's my text last Sunday was 1 John 2:24. So let me go ahead and just read that. Let that therefore abide in you, which you've heard from the beginning. If that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. So, of course, this is speaking of our fellowship with God, Jesus Christ, within the relationship that we already have, which is he's our Heavenly Father. And last Sunday during lunch, one or two, I know, had mentioned this word relationship, and I want to bear down hard on the fact that that does not change. Sometimes I'll interchange words, you know, oh, my relationship with that person is not so good anymore. Well, it's the same relationship if they're a friend, an uncle, father, mother. That relationship is there. If any of you from time to time are aggravated, irritated maybe with something your child has done, they're still your child, and you still love them. You may not have ever been irritated or aggravated at your children. I don't know. We have been. But they're still your child. You still have that relationship there. Hadn't changed. And you still have that love for them. But the fellowship that you have, that can be damaged, that can ebb and flow, depending on what happens. And so it's within our power, or he would not have told us to do this, that we abide in him. And he gave us different, I want to concentrate on some of the methods or the motives in it. And motives, I happen to think this morning, whatever motives that I might have, that I might be given and look toward to cause me to delve into something, to go into something, or to not stray, for instance, they may be different motives than are yours. But he gives us some here in God's word, and he does tell us to go back to what you've heard from the beginning in the gospel, in the word of God. And this is a constant thing, but it's to maintain this close fellowship with God, this communion with him. It's so special. He'll not leave us. He abides in us. But we will see. In fact, in John, Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, Jesus Christ words this, and this is a good picture to see in this. He says, "I am the true vine." This is the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." This is talking about here and now. If we don't bear fruit here, we don't get taken away from the family of God. The relationship is still there. Right. Still there. but we lose fellowship with God. And a branch must remain, abide in the vine here if we are to bear fruit. And it makes sense, this purging here, though. Every branch that beareth fruit, so that's good, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. For instance, with fruit trees of any sort, one is supposed to prune those a certain way to encourage the fruit, for it to bear fruit. If you just let it go, I guess it would, but you can encourage it to bear fruit. And you think of some cutting away and so forth of a tree. I think y'all have some fruit trees in your yard and all. You have to prune them a certain way. We used to have some apple trees and pecan trees and so forth. Pecan trees, you can let them go, seems like, and they'll just keep dropping them. Fruit trees on a vine, you prune them. And for instance, we also used to have in Houston a bunch of blackberry vines. And you did. Certain vines would bear fruit that year, and the next year another vine would. And you had to take care of those and prune them. And that's what God does with us. There have been times in the past where I thought maybe I was going through some of that purging in my life. I should have thought, well, thanks be to God that He loves me and that He is encouraging me to bear fruit here, since I have this relationship with Him, and yet and maybe it wasn't as pleasant, but then it was for my own good. My being a natural father, spiritual father, then we do some of the same things. This weekend, or this earlier this week, middle of the week, and then through yesterday, we came back from San Antonio to see someone down there. Andrew had made the statement that he's going to have to learn to let Beverly maybe fall a little bit. You know, she can sit up pretty good now, but she's still, her balance is off, and she's only a little over 6 months. And it's hard for a father to do that. Let them do that. Let them fall. Now, nothing dangerous, obviously, and all. But when I think I can jump in here and save someone from something, from pain, you know, you want to do it because you love them. And yet sometimes you need to purge that and let them do that. That judgment, we certainly should pray that God would guide us in that. There is no comparison to a loving chastisement, a teaching a child. There's no comparison of that to any type of abuse. And God, and we know that if you love them. And I think of God and Jesus Christ, that the husbandman, God, purges us, that we bear more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And in that fruit bearing, so many types of that. We don't all bear the same fruit, if you will, in our lives. The gifts, we're given various gifts in that, and we use that, those gifts, to glorify God, to praise Him and honor Him, and then others see that fruit bearing. And I'm thankful that He suffers us many times, and does not cut us away from the vine, from the true vine, that we might bear more fruit. That's our purpose, to glorify Him. That's our purpose. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Man, this is not talking about anything eternal. Nothing eternal. It's here. We're cast, and we wither. We wither. We see that. Surely we can think of the natural. Jesus Christ himself spoke in with Nicodemus and so forth. He spoke in natural terms so that he could understand it. He still had trouble with that, regeneration, being born again and so forth. But you think of a branch that's been cut away and you just toss it aside. It withers. And all, and I just thought about this. I've talked about some of this before years ago. This was long before I was ordained to the ministry. But and so you cast that aside, and withers. Men would take that. There's weakness there. It finally has disease and so forth. It's not going to bear any fruit. I think about when we were young. I hate to tell these stories, but it's come to my mind. In our backyard, I had pruned some limbs on a tree, and they were laying there just like I've described. So my son decided, and he was just a little boy then, and he said, "I want to plant that." It laid there, I know, a few days, and I thought, "It's not going to grow. I'm probably going to have to go and buy one, and replace it during the middle of the night when he's not here, you know, show him it grew and everything." But I couldn't believe it. After I don't know how much time, week or weeks, that thing started sprouting leaves again. And I think of God when he when someone is brought back into the fold that he has blessed them not to wither and have disease and to be strong again and then to bear fruit again in the vine, this true vine. Such a blessing. So that is a an example or a picture of some of this there. But to have this this solid close fellowship, and in further describing the meaning of this 1 John 2:24. Let that therefore abide in you, and then also ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father in this relationship. When you take up an abode, somewhere, in something, in someone, that's a residence. You take up residence there, and moment in and moment out, that's where you abide. And it's not like leaving your house. Many times I've longed to go back home again. I remember when I was in college I have to be honest and confess, I never liked school. I didn't want to go away to college. Didn't like it. Didn't like to read. I certainly was a homebody, a person that loved my family and wanted to be there. And so that was hard. There was some purging there that I needed. And I came out all right as far as my fellowship and my closeness with my family. It almost made it stronger. But I wanted to go home. But that was always my home there. It was in Houston at the time where my family was in that love. And yet when we abide in Christ in our lives, each moment then, We have this fellowship, and it strengthens. It's a common when I say we're born again, children of God, saved by the blood of Christ, we'll be in heaven. So all we have to do is this. It's a constant work. It's a constant work, but there's blessings in it. There's a blessing in it, and so many. So we have this fellowship with God. Now, I always want to know, and I love the verses of Scripture where God Almighty, in His inspired Word, says to do something or don't do something, and then immediately He tells us how. We need to know how. Sometimes we have to go other places and look around and see. Well, how do we do that? Here he tells us to look back at what we've heard from the beginning, the Word of God, and so we look to that. I'm thinking of a verse. I believe it's in Job. Job chapter 23, he says in the 12th verse of 23rd chapter of Job, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." So this is how much he dwelled on the words that had been spoken. And here, where Job words this, the commandments of his commandment of his lips, in Psalm, the first chapter of Psalm. First Psalm, first verse, David writes, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord," the Word of God, the law of the Lord, "and in his law doth he meditate day and night." He meditates day and night. I've drawn comfort when something is happening, turmoil in our lives, or sorrow, and God guides our hearts and our minds toward his word. There's been times when I thought, yeah, I know I'm supposed to do this. I'm reading this verse of scripture. I know what it means, and it doesn't seem to be helping. It doesn't always. And certainly preachers don't have all the answers in that. We can't look into your heart. We can, but we should point you to the Word of God in anything is here. And I think it kind of lessens the importance when I just call the Bible a handbook to our lives or something. It is the inspired Word of God. And when we read it and delve into it, meditate upon it, we see the perfection and the simplicity. And yes, the logic in here. There's nothing that doesn't make sense. And there's nothing that contradicts something else here. We may not understand it. But God's word is simple, and he blesses us, and he tells us here to go back to what we've heard from the beginning, that we might abide in him. Our eternal life, when we think, well, how do I continually abide in this fellowship with Christ, with God Almighty? And I think about, so often I think about what we have, and many outside of the church as well, that Jesus Christ set up. But to the eternal life that we have, that is a part of that, of how. That gives us the confidence that we need. Here in this 25th verse, it says these things, 25th verse, "And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." This promise of eternal life, and he doesn't break promises, that equals the confidence that we have. And when we also look, how do we get that eternal life? Well, legally on the cross, when we look at the victory there in Jesus Christ, that gives us, that's the how to abide in Christ. When we see that, it should not, as many times I've thought, well, I'm born again. I have the eternal life. Jesus Christ secured that. So therefore I must not have to do all these things. Well, that's true. But I lose the fellowship with Jesus Christ. And we also have that closeness in the church that Jesus Christ set up. He set her up for us. We're a part of the church in its entirety, in her entirety. And so we have the even more closeness there in the fellowship with Jesus Christ, with God. That's where we hear that word, and we're blessed having the eternal life within us, and the Spirit comes upon us, that Spirit. And that's the next thing that we look at, is that the Spirit itself is within us and among us, that's the how. You rely on that. When you grow weak, when I grow weak, I need to head toward that, double down in that, to abide in Christ. Don't leave that. Think about that branch withering over there. So however number of years I have left, then I don't want to waste that. Maybe I will. Maybe there'll be time where I waste it. I still know that I'll be in heaven. I'm saved by the blood of Christ, that's bestowed on me through the Holy Ghost, but I don't want to be that withering branch that's been cut away from the vine. I want to be that one that bears fruit, that when He comes now among us, and when He comes again that second time without sin unto salvation, then I'll have that confidence and be showing that to Him, and then He'll be glorified in that. So, well, I think He probably won't even see me. You call my name. Yes, I believe that. But be somebody. No, He's going to. He knows us. He knew. I want to remind you. He knew your name on the cross. He knew you on the cross. And He knew all of the sins that you have committed or ever will. And He bore those on the cross. He knew that. The innumerable host. And yet He did that. He did that. That's an encouragement to abide in Him here. Here in the Spirit. Let me jump over to Titus, if I can go the right direction. Titus, the first chapter. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. This eternal life that I'm talking about, in giving us strength and a motive to abide in Him, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, there's another one, promised before the world began, in hope of eternal life. So that's the, and it says in hope. So back in school, when somebody would ask me, well, are you saved eternally? And at that time, I'd say, well, I hope so. And they look at that so weak and worthless. Full expectation. That's what hope is. I couldn't explain it then, but I knew, and it was hard. Because you know what, now in my life, after all those experiences, all of the purgings, the experiences in my life, then now I honestly can say that not anything of myself, but that I am a child of God, because I see His strength in my weakness. I see His perfect love in me, not striving for that constant fellowship with Him, but so I can say that, so you learn, because you go back to what you've heard from the beginning. You abide in Him, you bear fruit, and then people will see that. Do I have to tell someone, yes, I have been saved to get into heaven? No. Do I have to say that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior to get into heaven? No, I have accepted Him. That's what a blessing that is. But I was passive in being saved. Just passive. I didn't do anything. And so I cannot do anything to remove that as well. So that there's peace in that. And if nothing else, in as selfish as I am, I in abiding in Christ, and I think of the blessings in that, and I think of the peace and the rest. And as I look around, I know that so many of you have experienced things, sorrowful things, traumatic things that I have not. And that I can't imagine how much of that your measure of faith that you had to grab hold of. And he says, lay hold on eternal life. There it is again. That we abide in him. But that strength that you had to be given to make it through that. And I've seen those that did not have, or did either had the faith and didn't exercise it. We have to exercise physically if we're continue being healthy and fit and so forth. I have not done that. I had to find some clothing today that was big enough to wear after the holidays. Terrible, but certainly we have to exercise that faith. And as we do, it grows stronger and stronger, and we rely on it more. Because I'm going to remember the last time I held on to that faith and exercised that. What a blessing it was. And I'm going to do it again and abide in him. So that gives us the reason to, or the motive to, and the how to. Now I'm going to close with Romans, the second chapter of the book of Romans. I was notified that that clock was way slow, so I can't watch that. I won't. Romans chapter 2, the 14th verse. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. We didn't have, this is us, Gentiles. They didn't have the law. We didn't have the law. But when we do by nature of God Almighty within us, dwelling within us, when we do these things, having not the law, this is a law unto ourselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Remember in Jeremiah, no man has to teach you. God does that. In their hearts, written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. So this they were performing the law, and I think of the gospel. If someone has never heard the gospel, and then you say, well, they're bearing fruit. They've never heard the true gospel, but they're bearing fruit. Well, they're one of God's children, and they're in the vine. They were a branch on that vine. So you think of the ones in your life who have not heard preaching or have not been to any church, any denomination, or to the church, and not even ever discussed it. But you see them, and I see the kindness, the true love of God in them. Then they're bearing fruit. Then you know it's one of them. It gives us comfort in that. Certainly does with my close family members, some of my friends that I have that would just swear to themselves that they are not a child of God. Oh, I'm too sinful. We've all done that. We've all committed those things, but we strive to abide in Christ, in God, that we have that fellowship and that you can feel the love in your lives as your parents teach you those things in your lives, and they're blessed to do that, and then you know those, then you're comforted in that. May God bless and keep you is my prayer.
Please stand while we sing number 154. Number 154. Do so.
How firm our foundation he stands of the Lord. It is slain for your faith in his excellent word.
Motion we receive.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion?
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nothing. Would you like to say anything? We love you, Brenda. You know that already. Well, we'll continue singing.